The South Sudan Nurses and Midwives Association is concerned with the spread of the disease across the country, and this comes following the presidency decision to relax rules and directives of the lockdown. Now, the nurses and midwives say that the South Sudanese are generally vulnerable, in particular the women, children, and the elderly, as they have weak immunity due to malnutrition at some extent. Now, as from the 8th of May 2020, this is when the government lifted the ban on lockdown, cases have continued to increase rapidly or exponentially, including six registered deaths. And now joining us in the studio, Agnes Juan, the Secretary General, and SSNAMA, and Reverend Janet Michael, Chief Nursing and Midwifery Officer. Good morning, ladies, and it's good to have you.
Good morning, Irene.
Right. So, what are the concerns of the nurses and midwives, to be particular?
Thank you. Our concern as nurses and midwives is that since the lockdown has been relaxed in a way, so people thought like the country is free of COVID-19. Therefore, we have the following to share.
Please go right ahead.
Following the presidency decision to relax rules and directives of the lockdown, the South Sudan Nurses and Midwives Association is concerned with the spread of the disease across the country. South Sudanese are generally vulnerable, in particular the women, children, and elderly, as they have weak immunity due to deficient nutrition. As from the 8th of May 2020, when the government lifted the ban on lockdown, cases have continued to increase rapidly, including 4 registered deaths by 15th May and several unknown deaths, which is very alarming. The number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 are predominantly community transmission, and the majority continues to remain asymptomatic and therefore carriers of the disease.
Right, and we'll come back for more details there. Now, Reverend Janet, there's word out there that South Sudanese have strong immunity and they cannot catch the virus, but your statement says it's quite the contrary. How does that come into play?
It is. Thank you, Radio Miraya. I want to greet the listeners out there that we are very, very, very concerned. It is true. There is nothing that saying that we are immune. We are actually a very, very vulnerable nation. And this has been cited by World Food Program, food security. There is hunger. There is famine. We haven't planted enough. And in most of our areas are receiving donations. They're receiving donations, food aid. So if we're depending on food aid, what does it tell us? And we are not eating enough nutrient, even as we see the situation in Juba. There are no fruits which people can afford. The vitamins and all the essential vitamins, we can say the foods that contain them, are not here. And especially, the war has taken a toll on agriculture. Therefore, we have minimum production of food. And we are actually very, very vulnerable. Right. And especially, we see that on the pregnant women who come to our clinics for antenatal. Rampant anemia. And they are dying of postpartum hemorrhage, which is actually due to anemia that was not corrected. And children also dying. We lose a lot of them.
Right. Now, yes, Agnes, you are still telling us more on your concerns, please.
Yes. As the disease spreads, it will put a strain on the already weak health system that we have here in South Sudan. Therefore, South Sudan Nurses and Midwives Association, which is abbreviated as NAMA, recommends the following to high-level task force on COVID-19. The lockdown should be reinforced until the curve is flattened. equip the frontliners with knowledge and personal protective equipment. Strengthen the health system to cope up with the pandemic. Mandatory wearing of face mask and social distance at all public places. Designated accommodation for those working in the case management center to avoid risk of infecting their families and the public at large.
Right.
Strengthen surveillance and contact tracing. A good proportion of the high-level task force should compose of medical experts.
Right. And just stopping there, you're speaking about contact tracing, I think the move made by the first vice president yesterday was actually a good one by coming out and mentioning people. Because if you know, just to let you know if you had contact with this person. Now, coming from a medical background, just... inform the listeners, is it really essential that the people infected by COVID-19 are not publicly announced? I know you work under confidentiality, but in these times of COVID-19, how important is it that we know who and who is infected and not?
Okay, talking of confidentiality, dear listeners, it's really not good that we publicly announce, for example, like... if I am infected now, and then you just announce Agnes Juan is infected. But the contact tracing can still go on regardless of being publicly announced. The cases can be traced. And besides, we don't need exactly to know who and who, because now, even currently, there is a stigmatization of the disease. Mm-hmm. So if we continue stigmatizing them, we will not make it. And let us know, dear listeners, that our health system is vulnerable. It's very fragile. Just know, if this disease is able to defeat the so-called powerful countries, what about us, South Sudanese, who are victims of war? We are traumatized. Our immunity is lowered for several reasons. Mm. But what we need to know is that contact tracing should really continue. We don't need to know the names. And besides, if you feel unwell, you can even just report yourself. You don't need to travel anywhere, because now it's community transmission. Mm. Long time before that, it was with travel. The case definition is when you have gone somewhere or you have been in contact with someone who has traveled and so on. But now it's community transmission. You can find it anywhere, in the buses, everywhere.
Right.
But contact tracing is very
Thank
important.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Yeah. Now, Reverend Agnes, somebody might argue that if I know this so-and-so has COVID-19, then I will know that I'm already infected or not infected. But if you do not announce that so-and-so is having COVID-19, how then will I even voluntarily go and check up?
Thank you. This is the issue. Even if you don't know the name of the person, but you've been in an area where you think there is an exposure to some people. For example, as Agnes put it, today, COVID is everywhere in our community. Those people who are positive, they're in our markets. They are moving everywhere without a mask. They are interacting with everybody. So really, we are looking at a pandemic that is going to come out in South Sudan in a big way if we don't control. And here is that the moment you feel the sign and symptoms, call 666 and then seek treatment, but don't do self-treatment. What we are hearing people now is that they are trying to look, if I have throat, what do I take? I should take, these people are self-medicating themselves in the house. And there are people right now, we are having people who are dying with unknown diagnosis. Suddenly you hear somebody is dead in the community, and people are burying. Those people are not being diagnosed.
Mm.
Even further, that we want to recommend that those who die, it would be appropriate also to have them tested for COVID-19 so that we can get our statistic right.
That's right.
Because even if you have an underlying cause, they are saying that, oh, the person died of
heart failure
or what. Sometimes the person had contracted COVID and pushed that person, because COVID-19 also will push you to stroke, to heart failure, to renal failure, to so many things that you'll experience.
Right. Thank you so much, Reverend Janet. Now, Juan, you spoke about your recommendations, and one of those was recommending for lockdown. Let's put into perspective that South Sudanese survive from hand to mouth. What measures do you recommend put in place to enable these families survive even during this lockdown?
Okay, our recommendation for lockdown were like, the lockdown is to be reinforced. We cannot talk of total lockdown in South Sudan compared to the other countries. Let me give a simple example. Like, if we have to stay at home, we cannot go anywhere. First, the first word, even home, do we have homes? The shelter we live in, is this what we call home? When we talk of home, it should meet the standard requirements of a home. Therefore, according to me personally, most of us South Sudanese don't have homes. We have houses, we have shelters, actually. Therefore, when we say we stay at home, meaning just remain where you are, that is first. And secondly, we don't have delivery system whereby I can just make a phone call or send an email or make any contact and say, bring for me this I'm going to use for cooking. And then it is left at my gate, and then I go and pick, I disinfect it and I pick. These ones, we cannot make it here. I have to go physically to the market and buy. Therefore, total lockdown has never happened here and will never happen here. So what we are saying is to be reinforced, like in public places, we should wear a face mask. We maintain the social distance. Hand washing is the best, and at least an average South Sudanese can afford. If we don't have soap, at least we can use even ashes now, what we can say, instead of not washing hands. So these are the measures to be reinforced. And even our people who are, those who are making us to follow up these measures, they should be exemplary. We should live by example. We should preach by action, not words.
True. And Reverend Janet, how is the COVID-19 situation with nurses and midwives, you being the frontline workers?
This is a dilemma, because as the nurses and midwives are practicing, we do not know which person is being presented with COVID-19, because you may be attending to a person, and most of nurses' procedures are close proximity. We are close to the patients, and this is very, very dangerous. Right now, the nurses are having actually a problem, because there are not enough gloves, there are no face masks. When we actually say every nurse should be wearing, not just the nurse, all medical personnel, all people working in health facilities will be wearing masks and gloves. Yesterday, we were trying to look around in the hospital. The dilemma, it shocked us. When we find the department that we call maternal child health, the obstetrician, our obstetrician and gynecologist were in dilemma, because there were no masks. There were no gloves for them to attend to the patients. And they said, here we are, this is how we are working. And it is very shocking at this time that these people are without masks.
So what's going on? How come you don't have masks?
I really don't understand, because all that they are giving is that the masks are few, they are giving out, they are trying to control them. And that should not be the thing.
Right.
Medical personnel or health workers, frontliners, are not to compromise their health. They should not compromise their health. Right. Otherwise, they should stop working. I will say like that.
Right.
Stay at home.
And of course, the listener down there.
Yes.
What we report to them is so-and-so pledged this, so-and-so pledged this. And there's money coming in for the fight of COVID-19. But then how, like, I'll ask this to Juan. What is happening? Why is... Why is there nothing coming in to protect the health line workers?
This is very complex. I can't say much, but really, the challenge is there's money coming in, but the demand is high. the demand is high. Security needs money, the health workers need money, the sanitizers and many other, everything needs money. Mm. And then even our country situation is our financial situation. Let me say our economic situation of the country is not really favoring us. Therefore, that money is not enough because we don't have anything of ours. Mm. And if we continue to depend on donations, the donations will do nothing to us.
Wow, that's very sad, even for someone who is listening in. The little hope that we had in the frontline workers is being squashed.
Let me just add something.
Yes, please.
Actually, the health task force, if they could do, they could use that money for locally manufacturing things like masks. That's what every country is trying to do.
Right, right.
Use that money, give it to some tailors so that they produce a mask here that would be affordable.
Would that,
so
that even work for you, the frontline worker?
Yes. Okay. It will work.
Right, because
at least it will be affordable that people have got something to use at least which can cover them without the spread.
Okay, because what we had is the N95 are meant for you people, and the cloths, masks are for the people like us who do not come into physical contact with, all frontline workers. So, I mean, what do you have to
say? Yeah, so what I can say, instead of having nothing, we better have this locally made masks, because as per now we actually have nothing.
Right.
So better than nothing, I think that is good.
All right, ladies. Yeah. It's very unfortunate that you're working under such circumstances where you need to be protected, and because of time, what would your last remark be? I'll start with you, Reverend Janet.
Oh, thank you. What I would like to tell our public is that because what we have seen is like out there, everybody is saying we don't die of COVID-19 and that there is nothing, yet we are seeing deaths rising. I would like to advise our public to wear face mask at all times when they are in public. And of course, for the task force, our appeal is that they should have enough supplies to all our health facilities. Otherwise, it's demoralizing the health workers from doing their work.
Right. And
thank you.
Yeah. The safety of the people in this country, including the nurses and the midwives, should be considered as paramount valuable resource of the country. Nurses and midwives remain the eye of the community and the right arm of the Ministry of Health in providing quality healthcare services, including the fight against COVID-19 pandemic. And we want to encourage our listeners that the situation is tough, but let us not lose hope. We will make it. We have managed to fight the actual fight, and now this one is not even a spiritual fight. This is I don't know if it is a scientific fight, but we shall make it.
Right. Thank you so much, Reverend Janet and Joanne. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, dear listeners.